sidewave.com podcast. Here is your host, TJ Buffenbarger.
Hello, world. Welcome to another edition of the TJSlideways.com podcast. It's mid-September, and that could mean only one thing. You know, I'm really blessed to do a lot of great events, and I get to do some of the biggest races in all sprint car racing in the United States. But one of the most awesome things about my geographical position here from the Engine Pro Studios just outside of Door, Michigan, is I'm right next door to Canada. In fact, I have to practically go south to get to Oswegan Speedway, where this Friday and Saturday, the Canadian Sprint Car Nationals roll off. And anybody that knows me knows how passionate I am about the Canadian Nationals, because to me, it's one of the biggest events that I consider a bucket list race that kind of flies under the radar in the United States. As of Tuesday, 69 entries filed for the Canadian Nationals, $10,000 to win American. That's key. If you look at the exchange rate, you'll know why. $10,000 to win, $1,000 to start for 30 cars. It's one of the most amazing things on Oswegan's approximately 3/8 mile-ish racetrack that is so wide. To see those 30 cars go into turn one with the greatest of ease is one of the biggest thrills of my racing season. And ever since the first time I got to go, the opportunity to go to Oswegan in 2005, it just struck a chord with me. The facility is absolutely amazing, and they've made incredible improvements since that year. I mean, the bathrooms and everything, new grandstands and everything redone on the spectator side. The pit side was already pretty nice to begin with. They put more gravel and concrete down. And I remember in 2005, standing next to Kenny Jacobs, who was driving for Mike Woodring at that initial Nationals. He did win. And we were talking. He said, you know what? This place is amazing. Someday they're going to have World of Outlaws shows here, and this is just going to be a world-class event someday. And he proved to be right. He saw it, the same thing I did. And the Canadian Nationals has just provided some absolutely amazing moments for those of us that have been a witness there. Things like seeing Quebec driver Steve Poirier, right after he made his transition from modifieds, after seeing that initial Canadian Nationals and winning two consecutive features there. And for some of us that weren't maybe as in tune with the East Coast sprint car, like, who is this guy? He's incredible. And then years after that, seeing Shane Stewart race Poirier for Canadian Nationals victory in Shango, like, who are some of these guys? I'm having to work way harder than I thought I would to win this. And that echoes some. It's from like, that's like Wayne Johnson that have won the race too, that, man, I've had to race really hard to win this. And other memorable ones like Jessica Zemkin winning the Canadian Nationals is a big moment. But if you want to know what the Canadian Nationals is all about, look up the 2015 edition on YouTube, the feature event, the one Brian Holland won, coming from 20-something to pass Parker Price Miller for the lead. And it was such a tremendous race, three or four cars going back and forth for the lead. PPM didn't even realize that Holland had passed him for the lead. And it was one of the most amazing races. It's the only pay-per-view race I can ever think of that I was watching in my living room. I was joking because the weather forecast looked abysmal until I decided I wasn't going to go, which is another running joke we'll talk about later. But I stayed home, unfortunately. I was literally jumping up and down in my living room going, that was one of the most incredible races I had ever seen. And and of course, our defending champion, Carson Macedo, won't be on hand. He's going to be busy contending for an All-Star Circuit of Champions title, but still with 69 entries as of Tuesday, a strong field ready to go. And as good as the features and some of the stories from those main events are, the heat races Saturday night, Oswegan, have a Knoxville Nationals-like intensity to them. And for the weekly racer in that area, this is their biggest race. This is Canada's biggest sprint car race, and it has the same feel to it. And the cutthroat nature of those heat races produces some of the most amazing heats we see all year in wing sprint car racing. And usually the track gets real slick, real wide there at Oswegan. Doesn't seem to take rubber. Man, does it ever provide some amazing races. I remember one year that Flat Out Magazine editor Justin Zock and myself were working at the Nationals were kind of like the host, so to speak. Between races, we would talk and break down analysis. And we got to kind of watch the heat races because we didn't have to call them. We called some of the races later in the night. And we were sitting there just in disbelief. Almost, he was almost laughing like, this is just incredible. How does anyone not know about this? It's just such an amazing race. And I know a lot of people get tired of me hearing about it, but I do get asked about the Oshawa Speedway and Canadian Nationals quite a bit. And it's just, you know, people are going, what is that about over there? I'm telling you, you need to go. If you're from the United States, especially, and you have not been there, it's kind of a neat adventure. Yeah, it's just next door to Canada, but it is going to a different country. It's going to a totally different environment entirely because you're on a reservation there at the Oshawegan. And when you see here your national anthem played in a different country when you're there, it's just awesome to be representing your nation there. It's awesome to hear the Canadian anthem because, you know, growing up next door to Canada, we grew up with a lot of Canadian culture here. And if you're a hockey fan or whatever else, it's just kind of neat to be at a Canadian event and hear that. But then the Oshawegan Smoke Dancers come out to represent the people there. And it's just amazing to watch them perform. And it's the pre-race ceremonies, right after that, just the hype and everything leading into the races is absolutely incredible. And there's something about fall in Oshawegan when the cool air comes in, the fog starts rolling in, and the moisture starts coming out of the racetrack. And it's just one of the most amazing experiences every year I get to have. So I'm always happy to do a Canadian Nationals preview podcast. Here's some of the people you're going to hear from during this Canadian Nationals edition of our podcast. Of course, we're going to have the most recent winner that will be on hand for the Canadian Nationals. Parker Price Miller sat down to talk to us for a little bit. And we would be remiss if we weren't talking to Dylan Westbrook, the kid that wins almost every week down there at Oshawegan, your track champion there. He, you know, he's pretty much got that lock on lock at this point, but he is going to be kind of leading the charge to try to become the first Ontario driver to win the Canadian Sprint Car Nationals. That's a regular theme in this podcast, as you'll see a little bit later on with can an Ontario driver win. And Jason Barney from New York, who is a sprint car driver in the Northeast, and he shares a lot of the same passion that I do for the Canadian Nationals. We'll talk to Barney later on. Your 2018 SOS champion, Corey Turner, will also be a part of this podcast. The Cobra, Chuck Ebing, who's had some interesting adventures throughout the years, throughout the Canadian Nationals, still looking for that first victory. And then also Oshawegan Speedway competitor Mikey Krutschka. Mikey's an interesting story. Low butt guy, literally pulling the racetrack and basically an open trailer, and everything that's on the race car is what he owned for a couple of years there. And it turns out that after some, you know, venturing through some other cars, he eventually landed in Glenn Steyer's Oshawegan house car and the zero car. And we'll talk about what that means to him and being a kid that's done basically, grow up around the Oshawegan Speedway to be in the house car now, what that means to him. So, but before we get started with all the interviews and all the great things you'll learn about the Canadian Nationals, don't forget, please support our sponsors, Maxim Racing Chassis, All-Star Performance, TIA 22 Racing Products, and Engine Pro, along with the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum. That's an ad that we kind of do for them because you should donate to the Hall of Fame to preserve the history. And without those people, we could not do this podcast and the amazing race coverage we do on TJSlideways.com of events just like the Canadian Sprint Car Nationals. With the advertising out of the way, we're going to start things off, though, with the gentleman that runs the Oshawegan Speedway on a day-to-day basis, kind of guides the ship, and for owner Glenn Steyer's there in his backyard, Clinton Jeffrey. Now, Clinton's been an announcer for years at Oshawegan, took the GM job a few years ago, and has really taken the bull by the horns, done a great job over there. But this was probably one of his most eventful years as the Oshawegan Speedway general manager. Things were going along actually at a record pace for some of the big events. They had things pumped up. They were selling tickets. Then all of a sudden, a major problem sprung up where Oshawegan Speedway ended up losing the use of the land that made up a lot of their parking, which earlier in the year forced them to cancel the World of Outlaws program, which remained canceled, but also at the time, the Canadian Sprint Car Nationals. And it was heartbreaking to a lot of us see those two events go by the wayside, but Throughout the spring, rumors started popping up that, hey, maybe the Canadian Nationals isn't gone yet. And I don't know how Glenn and Clinton, everyone pulled this off, but they managed to come up with enough parking and get things squared away enough that we are able to have a Canadian Sprint Car Nationals this year. We talk about this and some of the other things going on at Ashwegan this year and in the future with Ashwegan Speedway General Manager Clinton Jeffrey. Clinton Jeffrey from Ashwegan Speedway. A few months ago, I didn't think we would be doing this Canadian Nationals preview. It's been kind of a crazy year. Why don't we take people through why this event almost didn't happen?
Well, it got started with some land issues here beside the Speedway. So adjacent to the Speedway, Glenn's Uncle Morley used to lease him 25 or so acres of land that we used for our camping and all our parking for all our major events. Well, Uncle Morley passed away in September and his kids basically got possession of the property. They had other desires and uses for the land, so they basically were not interested in leasing anymore, which caused a bit of a problem. So that was December 1st, and we were selling tons of tickets for the Outlaws and the Nationals. And gearing up for Christmas, we realized we had to do something to postpone or cancel. So we postponed both events. It took us until about start of June, and Glenn was able to negotiate for half of that land back. But in the meantime, he bought about 10 acres on the other side of the Speedway, on the other side off of Turn 3 and 4, and on the other side of the pit area. So we started grooming that for new parking, and it's still coming together. But we're going to be able to fight our way through the Nationals. But for next year and going forward, we're just setting up for a beautiful property here, probably nicer than we've ever had. So we started negotiations with the Outlaws again to get that race back next year. So they're going to give me some potential dates next week. But the big thing we're going to talk about today is the Canadian Sprint Car Nationals coming up next weekend. And we're super excited to have it back. You know, we've dropped the purse a bit to keep it in line with all the investment Glenn had to put out, probably about $500,000 to buy the property and start prepping it. So we changed the purse to Canadian, but then we had one of our great sponsors, Dan Nanicoke from Nitro 54 Variety, said, "What do you need?" He came in and basically gave us the 30% extra to get it back going. So we're back to U.S., and it's going to be an amazing event next weekend.
And you know, just so if people haven't been there, where the area that you lost was a good majority of your special event parking and all your camping. So, I mean, it really had, really threw a monkey wrench into things. And I couldn't imagine what your reaction was the first time when this started to come to fruition. Because like you said, you had your Outlaw and your Canadian National stuff all ready to go.
Well, myself as the manager, we were set up ahead of time. It was my third kick at getting a season ready. So we had posters done. We had all our pamphlets made, scheduled to hand out at the banquet in November. We were way ahead of the game. Greg Callan and myself did a lot of work to get things going. And then it all turned out to be garbage because we ended up canceling a bunch of dates and moving stuff around. And it was a distressful time for us, that's for sure. Shocking. We lost every single parking spot we had. And if you know the Speedway area, we're kind of in town here. So it's not like, oh, just buy the next farmer field over. We're kind of landlocked here. Thankfully, Glenn's Uncle Morley, or his other uncle June, I should say, on the other side had some land for sale, and Glenn was able to make a deal with that. So we've effectively got half of our parking back that we originally had, and now we've got this whole new ton of acreage on the other side that we're grooming up. And as I'm sitting here late at night here, still at the track working, there's truckloads and truckloads coming in. They're still working on getting it ready.
And so if I'm bringing a camper to the Canadian Nationals this year, where am I going to have to park? What's going to be different for this year?
Well, we've got two lots. So we've got the lot at the four-way stop, which is what we call Smith Field, just across fifth line here from where we are. And the other part of the main camping area we've got is going to be behind our push-off track. So if you go to the pit area and go to our push-off track, keep going beyond there. There's a huge grass field there that we've never really opened up or never really had access to. And to be honest, I never went there till after the Nationals last year and realized what kind of land was actually out there. And then we started brainstorming on what we were going to do. So that was going to be part of our new campground anyways. But the parking was the big issue, and we're going to be set up now. We're in real good shape. We're ready to go for next week. We've got 330 camping sites back and ready to go. So that's huge for us. And we're pretty much back where we were with the same number of campers. The first, the red lot has 130 sites already sold out. So we're going to have a hell of a crowd here next week.
Awesome deal. And I was checking the entry list right now. 49 entries right now. So it looks like the teams have responded to the sponsorship, helping the purse, and the Canadian Nationals being back on. Pretty much looks like business as usual from the racing side.
Yeah, you know, I looked at the list last week, and I was around 25, and I kind of thought, oh, man. But, you know, a lot of these guys, do they really go through the formalities of, you know, signing up and registering? I'm not sure. So I didn't really panic by seeing those numbers, but it's great to hear we're on the move. I think you're going to see a lot more of them come back to fruition. And I have no doubt we'll be over 60 cars when the race rolls around next weekend. You know, and if you look at that list, there's probably a bunch of our guys still not on the list as well that we can pretty much guarantee going to be there. There's a few heavy hitters that have told us they're coming, but haven't really publicly come out and said they're going to be here yet. So we'll see how it works out. I don't think we're concerned one bit, though, on car count. We never have. This race has become a sort of prestigious deal unto itself. So, you know, even with the diminished purse, I still think we're going to have a heck of a car count, but now we're pretty much back to where we were.
How did, you know...
You know, the race still pays $1,000 U.S. for 30th place, yeah, which is still great money for last.
Yeah, exactly. $1,000 just to start. And like you said, you start 30 cars. If anyone has never been to Oshwegan, I tell people, whether I go to Knoxville, Eldora, wherever, they're like, what's an event I haven't seen that I need to go to? I always tell them, you got to go to Oshwegan. You got to see the Canadian Nationals. It's probably the most fun race I do all year. From your perspective, how much of a challenge is it to put this thing on?
Well, Glenn pays the bill, so not a challenge for me at all.
Well, the scary part there, absolutely. But
I would say it's not a huge undertaking for us. Aside from, you know, we're used to, we do it a couple times a year. This year it's going to be our one big event, so probably a little bit rusty on that, and we're working on new things. But, you know, if you've ever been around us here at we are constantly trying to improve the fan experience here to make things easier for them and just have fun. I mean, the whole thing about the Stires family, we don't want to be the angry Speedway yelling at everybody all the time, telling you can't park there, you can't go there. You know, we tried our best to get our staff to lead with a smile, and I think that's really paid off. Most people come here, have a great time. You know, you also got to remember, for us, it's kind of our year-end party, our last race of the year, so all our regular race teams are here ready to party and have a good time and camp it out. So, I mean, it's just become a spectacular event. And I know I don't have to tell you, but for the fans at home, look up some of the videos that are on YouTube from the past couple events here. And the racing has been absolutely amazing, whether it be Brian Howland coming from virtually last to win in a green to checkered race, blown by everybody to the point that nobody even realized he was up as far as he was. Then you got last year with Carson Macedo having a hell of a battle with these other top-notch guys. And, I mean, I'll even put our Friday night show up against anybody else's regular show, because the racing that we had for the Twins last year on the Friday, the six heat races and features were unbelievable. And anybody in sprint car racing will tell you that.
And anyone that goes on Friday night, you have a little added bonus. Unfortunately, Mother Nature intervened earlier this year, so you get a bonus sprint car feature on top of it. It's the Patriot Tour feature makeup, isn't it?
Yeah, so we'll have the Patriots versus our core pack guys on the Friday night as well. Plus, it's also final points night for our stock car division, for our mini stocks and street stocks. So they basically have a huge night for them on the line as well. And it's just, if you've not been out there and seen our track and as wide and smooth as it is, you know, you tell me, where have you seen a track as wide and as nice as ours for racing and passing? It just... I have yet to see one. I can't think of anything that's 80 feet wide in the turns and straightaways like our place is.
Yeah, it's definitely a unique experience. How have things been going there at Oshwegan this year? I've looked in a couple times. You guys do a nice job streaming every week. I try to catch that when I can. But how has everything been going this season so far?
I really believe in the live stream. And I think that a lot of people think we were crazy when we said we would give away our product for free every week. But I equated a lot to professional sports. You know, we kind of using the same formula they are in the NFL or the Major League Baseball or NHL, where basically they give the product for free on your cable or your TV station, and then they go after advertisers to pay for it. So that's kind of where we are now. We're working on deals with advertisers to come on board and be, you know, supporting sponsors of the live stream. I've even had a company come to me and say, hey, we want to be the title sponsor of the stream next year. And, you know, it's really going to blow up for us. And I think the biggest thing we hear from us trying to show people Ashwaubenon is they didn't realize it was right here. So that's the biggest thing I hear from new people who haven't been here before, who may be local, come here and say, wow, I didn't even realize this was going on right here. So the biggest thing we're trying to do is just show what we do to everybody. I think the other thing we're working on is making it a destination. And my friend Tony Spiteri from Pinty's, which is huge here in Canada, and they're breaking into the States in sports marketing and with their chicken products, is, you know, he said we're making it a destination. So what he means by that is people watching online are planning trips now to come to Ashwaubenon because they've never been here, but they see it every week. They're immersed in what we do. They're a part of the drama going on every week because they watch religiously. It's no different than a soap opera, you know, or, you know, if you watch a show that's based in LA, when you go to LA, you're going to go to the spots that are on your show. And I think that's going to be the same thing here. If you get everybody immersed in the drama, they know that Dylan Westbrook's been dominating. So when he breaks, a lot of our viewers realize, oh my goodness, that's huge for the other competitors tonight because he's been running so good. So those types of things, I think, in the long run are going to pay off for us.
How has it been getting the word out in your local market, not only about the Canadian Nationals, but the track in general? I know that's something that you've made a point of. I see you guys doing parades and all kinds of different things. How have your efforts been to trying to get the word out locally?
I think really good. Part of the reason I think we've got it a bit, I don't want to say easier, but the place is such a nice place. And we do make sure the fan experience, and even all our drivers, you talk to any one of our drivers, I like to think we're a family. Most of our drivers will back us up to the end. They go to bat for us. If we've got a problem, they want to handle it themselves. And that's a big thing from a speedway, that you're not battling with your competitors or your customers, because in a lot of the speedway state, especially in the world of social media, it's very easy to get eaten alive by your own people. And I think what we've done is we really worked on the culture of our racers to make sure they know they're a part of it, and my door's always open. And because of that, we're not getting eaten alive. So the other thing we've done is we've dropped a lot of our traditional marketing, things like radio ads. You're spending thousands of dollars on ads that you can't really tell if you're getting the return on. Going social media-based like we've been doing, A, it's free. B, you're reaching your target market. I think, you know, you get a lot of people sharing your stuff around to their friends who may be racers, or tagging their friends, say, hey, Johnny, you got to check this out. I think that pays off for us a lot more in the end than it has. So Glenn's often said around here, boots on the ground are what are going to do it more than just buying billboards. And what he means by that is, like you said, going out to parades, going to schools. We have a massive school program that we do fundraising with them. Our $14 adult ticket, quickly we sell it. We let them sell it for $10. Each school gets to keep five of that $10. So if a school sells 1,000 tickets, that's $5,000 with no red tape on it that they can buy what they want with for their own school. So the Board of Education doesn't tell them what they need to do with that funding. They get to buy basketballs or a school lunch program or whatever they want. So we even find that connecting with the schools and the kids is really big. I even find us, I have a 11, 12-year-old boy and girl. When they can't come to the races with me, I have them retweeting it to their friends. So their friends are watching YouTube or watching us live, and they're getting immersed in it at 10, 12 years old. So maybe if their parents aren't even bringing them, they're still becoming fans from watching at home. And I think in the grand scheme of things, it's going to translate. The other analogy I've used is when the CBC here in Canada, which is our national broadcasting company, came to the Toronto Maple Leafs in 1952 and said, we're going to give every home game away for free on national television. Don't you think they crapped their pants a little bit and said, what? We'll never sell another ticket if you give away for free. But now they've got 80 games a year that they can't put enough people in. You know, they got 18,000 people sold out 80 games a year because they've grown it nationally by letting everybody see, and everybody gets immersed and they become a fan. And I'm a firm believer in the live stream, and I fight that battle. A lot of the old timers here who say, oh, it's hurting attendance, but I see the attendance myself. We're up 10% every week lately. And I can't say this because of live stream, but I can promise you it's not making people stay home and watch for free. The other line I like to use is, our product is so badass, we'll give away for free, and we'll dare you to stay home because it's so good, you're still going to come out and see it.
I would definitely stand by that for the Canadian Nationals coming up September 13th through the 15th. Ashwaubenon Speedway General Manager Clinton Jeffrey talking with us here. And Clint, like I said, you don't have to sell me. I've been sold on it for years. I tell people, I have to agree, you're putting your product out there in front of people. It may not, might be rained out some Friday night across the country and go, man, I'm going to come to Ashwaubenon. I still think that Canada is to me, the best untapped sprint car market going right now. Would you agree or disagree with me on that statement? Like, I think there's the most growth potential in your country.
Well, I would say right here in Ontario, we're definitely the hottest thing out there. And we started this crate division where you're taking a 602, basically a street stock motor that all the street stocks are running across the land from General Motors. We're selling them here in Ontario for 4,400 Canadian as a base brand new engine. And then you get it converted for a couple more thousand. So like what would be about 5,000 or 6,000 US, you're getting a complete brand new race ready motor. You put that in any sprint car chassis you want, which you can get up here for, you know, 5,000 US all day long, a good solid roller. So you're getting in for under 10 grand US with a brand new car or a brand new motor in a slightly used car. And it's grown to 40 cars for us to the point that we had to have the Action Sprint Tour this year, which we organized here out of Oshweken just because the guys wanted to race other places. And if we didn't set something up, another shark would come along and work on all our race teams. So we had the Action Sprint Tour, it was a 10 race series. Their final is this Friday at Oshweken. But yeah, so from the crates, we've had all these young kids come up. And in the past, where if you're running an open 360, like we do at our top division here, those motors are 25 G's on the low end, 55 US if you want to compete with the budget like Stiers. So parents would have to mortgage their house to put their kid in a sprint car 10 years ago. Now they can get them right out of go-karts for almost the same amount of money they are, learn how to drive a sprint car, mom gets over the fear of the sprint cars, and then a year or two, junior's ready to go 360 racing. And I think we are a hotbed right now. We are hosting upwards of 70 race teams on any given Friday here at our track alone between the two divisions. And maybe that's a little high. I would say 60. You know, we do have the odd night, like when the Patriots come in and bring in their crew. But yeah, anywhere from 50 to 70 race teams here racing sprint cars at our track alone is pretty insane, and saying that the division's going to be really healthy. The other thing is we've got high school kids. You know, Jacob Dykstra just finished grade 9. He won 3 races this year, and his high school sponsored him. Hannah Farrell just finished grade 12 as the female athlete of her school in grade 12, and she's out there, you know, running with the top dogs in sprint cars. So the age of these young kids, you know, Liam Martin just turned 14, Josh Hansen, 15. Some of our stars aren't even eligible to drive a real car yet. So I think sprint cars around here are really healthy with a great future.
Oh, that's great to hear. I tell people it's basically the Knoxville of Canada. You have to go see it, and I'd put up the proc against anything. Clint, if people want more information about the Canadian Sprint Car Nationals or just coming out to Oshweken Speedway any given Friday night, obviously they can find it at oshwegenspeedway.ca, but what info is out there for them?
Well, you know, that's the best spot. Greg Callan does an amazing job with our website. I think it's one of the most up-to-date sites out there. It's also the place you can pick up our live streams if you've not seen them. So go on and check it out. But pretty much everything you would need there from a visitor guide is on there. Everything you need to know. Here's the big thing. Our regular shows are $14 Canadian, which is about 10 bucks US for an adult to come in. Kids are $3 or less. So that's the big thing. And we've got 4 knockout divisions. You know, we start 28 mini stocks, 28 street stocks, and 24 in both sprint car classes pretty much every Friday night. So, and there's a lot of cars fighting for those spots who aren't even getting in. So it's pretty crazy to think that it's grown that much and that we are that strong. And the problem we've got is timing, getting out on time at a decent hour, because when you're trying to qualify 4 classes with 4 heats and B main, it just takes a while to give everybody their fair shot to make it in the race. So we're doing everything we can to streamline. We've had to, you know, drop intermission a lot, and we realize that the fan time is more valuable than their money. So we're doing everything we can to get everybody in and out as fast as we can. And, you know, I think we run a hell of an efficient program, and I put our show up against anybody.
And that's why I would put this general manager up against anyone as well. Clint, it's great to talk to you again. I look forward to being out there again next week, and it's been a little while for me, but looking forward to another visit to Oshweken Speedway, another great Canadian Nationals.
I love talking to you guys, especially about Oshweken. I got my brother, Mike. He was a sprint car driver here, but the racetrack, I consider it my other little brother. I've been here since day one. It's my 21st year on the microphone, and I'm fortunate enough to be behind the helm as the manager now, living my dream, as they say. You know, an old-timer told me once, if you find a job you love, you don't work a day in your life. Unfortunately, I'm there now working for the Stiers family, and we have a great place here. We'd love to see everybody come on out.
All right. Thanks, Clint. Appreciate it. We're going to keep it in the family now with Mikey Krechka, who happens to be Clinton Jeffries' brother. And Mikey is one of the best feel-good stories of the season. For years, Krechka kind of had a low-dollar operation that he really hustled to put together. It was something I've always admired for seeing forever. He's managed to put together some sort of race car and race at Ash Weekend. And, you know, he's been pretty competitive for what he had. I mean, literally, you know, points in his career, basically everything that was out there on that car, on the track, was everything he had to race with. And after some journeys through some other cars and whatnot, in that struggle, he has ended up this year in what was essentially the house car at Oshwegan, which is Glenn Steyer's number zero car. After Glenn decided to get out of the seat for a little while after some ill effects from a couple of big crashes over the past two seasons there at Oshwegan. But and Mike is a trip. He is never lost for words, and is one of my favorite people always to interview. So, of course, you know, you're doing Canadian Nationals preview. You always look to go to Mikey, and with his story this year, definitely worth sitting down and having a chat with him. Mikey Krechka, it's been quite a year for you, and you've gone from kind of in years past doing your own deal to not having a deal, and now you're in one of the most coveted rides in Canada, and you gave it a good ride last week, and congratulations.
Thanks very much. Yeah, it's been a pretty unique year. Yeah, to touch back on before, I did race for myself since 2008, and you know, it gets expensive, as everyone knows, and I just was at the point where I was like, man, I had a car and I had a motor, and it was just like, you get to the track and you're like, man, this is all I got. If something happens, I'm done. And if I would have junked the car or wrecked the motor, I would have been in real trouble. So we got through last year unscathed and was able to run top five on our weekend in the championship points. And that was pretty much a miracle as far as not having any problems or mechanical issues or wrecks or anything. So at the end of last year, I was like, okay, there's no way I can do that again. So as far as having good luck and not have problems. So I just decided to sell my stuff and look for a ride. And if it didn't happen, you know, I'd be like, okay, no problem. We'll get back into it someday or somehow. But I was driving for the Pergabaran team for a little while there. And it just didn't work out. You know, they're a bunch of great guys. I thank Jay for the opportunity. I fit in with everybody there. Just there was one or two guys that made it tough. And I just really wasn't having a good time. So I decided to part ways because now at my age, I realize I'm not going to NASCAR or World of Outlaws or anything like that. And I was just looking to have a good time and go racing and stuff. So I stepped out of it. And then a couple weeks later, Glenn reached out to me and was like, yeah, man, I'm not feeling good still. My head's messed up. Do you want to drive the zero car? And I was like, are you kidding me? Like, that's something you don't ask. You just tell me you are driving this car now. So yeah. And it turned out great. And the first night out, we ran second, and I feel like I finished third there in that car now, maybe like seven or eight times. And we're top five every other night, except for a DNF. And I think like two top 10. So it's been quite the summer.
How different is it to go from your own team where there's everything you have is on that trailer, on the race car, sitting on it, to a team that actually has resources like Glenn's?
You know, it's been quite the adjustment. And mentally, actually, last week I was, you know, I mean, I was kind of feeling down on myself because we weren't running as good as I'd hoped. And I'm like, you kind of put a bit of pressure on yourself. But like I said to Glenn, I'm like, man, for years, I would ignore you guys. Like, I would park in the back, pretend you guys didn't exist, because it would mess with my head. And I knew once the track clicked off, I had what it took to get the job done, and it didn't matter what they had, the haulers, the everything. So going into this now, I just kind of assumed, okay, I got all this awesome stuff. We're going to be great. You know what I mean? And it wasn't the case. Like, we were good, but it was he just kind of sat down and talked to me. He's like, you just got to have positive thoughts and positive energy all the time, and what you put out is what you get back in. And if you go to the track feeling like, hey man, I've been struggling even though I have all this stuff, it's it really works on you. So, you know, having all this stuff is amazing, but you still have to have your head right. And I kind of learned that last week. And, but to answer your question fully, it's amazing. Like, to be able to just drive hard in the corner, if we blow up a motor or something happens, it's not like, oh my God, like, this is real big problems. It's like, hey, let's get back to the trailer as fast as possible. We'll pluck this sucker out and jam another one in and go rip the feature, you know? So it's been a heck of an adjustment, but in a very good way.
On the same token, you're now pretty much in the Oswegan Speedway house car. How is the added pressure of racing the zero car at the home game, so to speak?
Honestly, I haven't felt any of that pressure. Like, the fans have always been really receptive to me. Like, I must have been, I don't know, 100 people over the course of the summer that came over and said, oh, man, it's awesome he chose you, and go get him, we got your back, and you know what I mean? Like, so there's been no pressure to really compete. And, you know, Dylan Westbrook, my teammate, he's killing it out there. That kid's, like, not even human. So he's kind of taken the pressure off me. Like, I'm just kind of an afterthought, you know what I mean? So, but to be in the zero car, there is a bit of pressure. The only pressure is for me doing it to see that smile on Glenn's face and to do it for him. Because he's been really great. Like, he's never said, hey, man, hopefully we win tonight. Or every time I've seen him before the races, he's just greets me with, like, a big hug and a high five or whatever. And he's like, just have fun tonight, man. I just want you to have fun. It's just all about your good time. Life's short. Just give her. Have a good time. So he's never really been – it's never a performance thing there, you know. If any pressure, it's just been on myself and wanting to do good for myself. But it's been really good, man. I don't even know how to explain it. It's just been a blessed summer, I guess.
And there were years with your own deal that the Canadian Nationals is kind of like, yeah, I'm going to show up and just – maybe get my show up points or whatever, or maybe, you know, you had to be careful because you had to make it to the next season. How is it feel? We're a couple weeks off, but, you know, to be on the cusp of Canada's biggest sprint car race, and you're one of the top rides going into the big show.
Feels damn good, I'm not going to lie. Especially after last week, confidence is high. We found some stuff with the car that, like, normally I wouldn't go as far with setup as far as running it as tight as we did and doing certain things to the car. And Steve kind of pushed me there, Steve Moulton, our crew chief. And he just said, just go for it, man. This is where we're going to have to get towards the Nationals. And man, did it ever work. And I'm excited for that. This weekend, we have Sam Heifertape is in the house. So we're going to kind of a benchmark and see how much work we need to do, because obviously he's going to be pretty good there. So we'll be kind of a marker and we'll see where we're at. And then it's really exciting leading into the Nationals and the night before the Nationals, because as you said before, I didn't really have the budget and I just had my own stuff. So I never ran the Friday night show because I would just be saving it for Saturday. And if we had a good time trial on Saturday, a good heat race and line up, like, which happened one year, we started fifth and we were rolling fourth or whatever. And I ended up getting put into the blocks there when Wayne Johnson broke an axle in front of me. And it was like, oh, you know, so this year is really exciting to be able to go Friday night. We have a rainout feature slotted on the Friday night before the Nationals from the Patriot race about a month ago. So we roll off 13th, I think, for that one. So that'll be a good test session. Now that our car's figured out, we're a little bit better, hopefully to improve on that starting position by a whole lot. And then we have the twin, whichever format, I haven't really looked into it. So we get to run one of them. And heck, we've been going good enough, man. We could, like, I'm flying high because I'm hoping we can win one of those and just waltz right into the dance, you know, on Saturday, and anything can happen there. So, and Oswegan's kind of an anomaly this year. It seems like it's been a different track every night, but every night we get out there maybe one or two nights, we've been really good. We've always been top 10 or top 5 and kind of in the mix. So it's pretty exciting, man. This year, I'm definitely looking forward to the Nationals more than any other one in my 10 years so far.
You touched on something. Track surface is a little different. They made some changes this year. How different do you think that's going to make things for the Nationals?
I don't think too different. They reconfigured it a little bit, just the way, like, on the top portion of the track. It's kind of, I wouldn't want to say there's more banking up there, but it's sharper, if that makes sense. I don't know, like, the way it kind of doesn't roll off the top. But again, the track surface has been kind of, the first couple nights were really rough and tumble, and we wrecked a lot of cars, and they kind of, they got that sorted out after a few nights. But some nights it's weird, man. It's, you'll develop a pretty solid, I guess, cushion in Oshkosh standard so far where it's rough and like crap up there. And then other nights, like last Friday, it was just pushed right off to the edge. Like you were rim riding and there was nothing out there. So I don't know. It's probably going to go back to classic national form, though, to be honest. It'll just be slick as balls right from the top to the bottom.
That's why we like Mikey Kretschka talking to us. And I always felt you were kind of like one of the dark horses in this deal. Do you think that this little stint in Glenn's car has maybe validated some people's thinkings about your driving ability?
I don't really give a crap about that, to be honest with you. But I think you're right, it does. Like, I've always known I could do it. And any of the Osh Weekend regulars and fans that would see what I had, and anybody that knows me in the racing world locally, knows that I never in the past had a ton of amazing stuff, and we always did real well. Like, I'm always proud of myself for being able to run with who we run and at our weekend and stuff like that, and be able to win races and with like basically next to nothing and just being on my own. With that being said, and one of my best friends is Kevin Lovies, and we all know him as Steve Poirier's crew chief. So I do have a heck of a dictionary and library to dip into, to ask questions to get me kind of what I need to know and to get me right getting to the track, so I'm not going to be too far off per se. But I think you're right. Like, I've definitely been a dark horse, and in the past I think that's been a stretch. You know what I mean? I think people were polite by giving me that title, because I'm just that one guy kind of on the outside that, yeah, if everything went perfect, he could pull it off. You know what I mean? He can win and he can wheel at times when conditions are right. But now with Glenn's car and the resources and the last week or two and even this summer, like, I think a dark horse is finally been validated term for me, I think. Like, I think I'm a genuine dark horse going into the Nationals with a valid shot this year. So that makes me feel pretty good going into it.
We still have a little bit of 2018 to complete here. Have you guys talked about next year at all?
A little bit. Me and Glenn kind of text back and forth today about some stuff. So I'm not going to say 100% I'll be there, but I'm pretty sure I'll still be with Stars Racing next year. Like, it's been a real good time for me with the team, and me and Glenn are really close. So I definitely think, I'm not sure what he has planned for the zero car, if he's bringing in a ringer or if he's, I have no idea. We haven't talked at depth, but I think I will be in a Stars 360. I don't want to say for sure, because like you said, there's a couple races left and it's a long winter. But I would say things are looking really good for me to still be remaining at Stars Racing for 2019.
At what point did you ever have an epiphany in the pits or anything where you're like, holy crap, I'm driving for this top-notch race team now?
Every day when I wake up, man, I swear to God, every day I wake up and I'm just like, you know what I mean? Like, I'll pull up my Instagram or my photos and be like, look at a post from last week or a couple weeks and be like, yep, that happened. I'm still doing it, you know? So it's especially coming from where we did. Like, I always say to my brother, Clinton Jeffrey, that I'm like, we both grew up on the wrong side of the track. We shouldn't be doing this at all. We were happy to escape the ghetto to begin with. And to be able to, like I didn't start racing until I finished high school. I worked at Plastic Auto Recyclers for was my first job out of high school. And the first check from there, I think 70% of it went to my go-kart for next year and 30% of it went to auto insurance. So it was like, you know what I mean? I got a late start, and then we raced Sportsman. I didn't start racing sprints till I was 30. So, you know, now when I used, like, kind of have that mentality looking back and forward, yeah, it's absolutely amazing that I'm in this ride, and I'm just super thankful every day. I wake up every day that it's just, and I text Glenn out of the blue. I'm like, woohoo, brother, you know what I mean? Like, thank you so much. This is great. And to be able to, that's why I was so excited in Victory Lane last Friday, was I just couldn't believe, like, me and Kevin crewed for him for a long time, and that's kind of where I started hanging around with sprints, and we traveled around, and we've been to Knoxville and all kinds of East Bay with Glenn and all over the map, and You know what I mean? I did every dirty job at Oshkosh over the years, working there, cleaning bathrooms, doing this, doing whatever, cutting grass, picking up garbage. So to kind of go right from literally the bottom to the top of that zero car wing was like amazing. So you better believe I don't take anything for granted. I'm super, super excited and blessed to have this under me right now. I'm damn sure trying to make the most out of it.
One last question. If it's you or someone else, what do you think the reaction would be to an Ontario driver winning the Canadian Sprint Car Nationals?
I think it would be great. You know what I mean? I think it's long overdue, to be honest with you. But with that being said, there's only been, you know what I mean? Has anybody even ever been close, really? Like, what's the best? I think, you know, like top three maybe or a top five. So I think if an Ontario driver did win, especially a local guy like myself, I think we're going to burn that shit down, man. It would be awesome.
And that is exactly what I expect from Mikey Krushko. Mikey, it's great to see you land in the ride. It's been fun to watch your success this year, and I look forward to seeing this effort next weekend at the Canadian Sprint Car Nationals.
Oh, thanks for the call, brother. I'm a pleasure to talk with you tonight, and you better believe it. I'm going to be on it next week, and I know you don't get chances like this every day, and I'm definitely not going to take this one for granted. So watch for the zero to be on the gas next week, and look forward to putting on a good show for everybody, and hopefully for all my Ontario natives here, we can get it done.
All right. Thanks, Maggie.
All right, brother. Have a good night.
Oshwegan Speedway is often what comes to people's minds when you discuss Canadian sprint car racing and sprint car racing in general in Ontario. But in all reality, the longest running Canadian-based sprint car organization still active was formed in 1996 when the Southern Ontario Sprints brought 360 sprint car racing to the province. And there's a good chance that without the SOS, there wouldn't be weekly racing at Oshwegan at all. The track might not even exist. And there's likely not a Canadian Sprint Car Nationals. And last week, SOS crowned their 2018 champion, Corey Turner, who had a moment to discuss with us what the Nationals means to him, his first championship, and going into this weekend, racing for a Canadian Nationals title. Joining us on the line right now, your 2018 Southern Ontario Sprints champion, and Corey Turner, how does it feel to have that title introducing you as a point champion at the SOS?
Yeah, TJ, you know what? It's a big relief. We had a lead. You know, I think we took over the points lead probably on night three or four of the eight race series, and you know, we just tried not to make any mistakes, tried not to beat ourselves is pretty much what it come down to. We had a real good car early in the year, and consistency later in the year is pretty much what paid off for us.
What does it mean to you to win that? Because SOS is pretty rooted now. It's been here for a long time, and it does tour all over Ontario. But to not just maybe win at one track, but to win something that encompasses a bunch of different racetracks, how does that feel?
You know what? It feels really good. You know, the club, it's been around, I think, since 96. It's probably, you know, between 20 and 25 years old. And it's had a lot of champions, a lot of good champions in its day. You know, guys like Chris Jones, Mitch Brown, Dylan Westbrook, Glenn Stires won it a bunch of times. And you know what? It's my first championship in any form of racing. So it's good to get that done as well. But you know what, and you're right, you know, we run Oshkosh weekly, and then we go out with the SOS and run with them usually, you know, every other weekend or every third weekend, and then we try to fill our schedule with, you know, NRA shows or with the Patriots or the ESS. But to win the points championship of a traveling club like the SOS feels pretty good.
But now the focus starts on the biggest race in Canada, which is the Canadian Sprint Car Nationals. How much do you guys focus on this event? Like when you're getting ready in the off season and stuff, how much of it centers around getting ready for this event?
You know what? We, we were just trying to get the SOS championship done with this week, and now it's full steam ahead towards the Nationals. But we, you know, it's the only race we talk about really at Oshweek, and it's the crown jewel. It's the one everybody wants to win. You know, we get all the professionals in from Parker Price Miller to Sam Hafer Teep to, you know, all the good New York guys, Ohio guys, anybody who's anybody really in 360 racing within 8 hours is there. So if you can have a real good run there or get a podium or even better yet win, you know, it really defines you among the elite.
And is there any added pressure? Because you drive kind of like for one of the home teams, so to speak, Hills Racing, that's in their backyard associated with you. Is there any extra pressure running for someone like that at the Canadian Nationals?
I don't think so. It really helps because my owners, Miles and Pam and Alex, they run multiple teams out of their shop. So we really have a lot to feed off of amongst each other, you know, and like I said, I don't think there's any added pressure, but it definitely helps running at Oshweek and every week. That being said, we've seen a multitude of different racetracks, so I'm not real sure what we're going to get, but I think we've had a couple slick tracks in the recent weeks, and I think we're going to go to practice Thursday night and just try to shake our car down and just fine tune it and get it a little bit better here coming into Friday and Saturday.
With over 60 cars on hand, it seems like every year, sometimes hovering around 80, how different is the racetrack at the Nationals generally compared to what you see on a regular basis there?
It's usually very different, actually. You know, usually they have us wheel pack just to make sure everybody's transponders pick up. We don't see a wide racetrack like we see in the heat races at the Nationals on a regular Friday night. Usually if you can start in the first two rows, it's pretty much hammered down. And if you can make up a couple spots, you're in the redraw with passing points. But when you get to the Nationals on the Friday or Saturday night, it's usually slick, not usually a cushion, but slick just right to the top edge. And, you know, you'll see guys like Sam or Parker, they'll go up and rip the top edge, and you'll see usually a lot of, you know, good local guys like Jimmy Hoopinen or somebody like that, maybe go to the bottom and try to roll around down there, or a, you know, a New York guy like Jason Barney will probably try to work around the blocks, but it is a lot different. That's for sure.
It's always kind of interesting hearing how the various Canadian drivers got to sprint car racing. There's some different avenues there than we see over in this area. How did you get into sprint cars? What was your path?
My path into sprint cars, firstly, my grandfather, he ran dirt modifieds at all the local tracks, Humberstone, Merrittville, Oshweek, and later in his career, Ransomville, New York as well. And then my dad followed him, and he started racing mods back in the late 80s, and then he took a bit of a break, and he ended up getting a sprint car back in 2010. So ever since I started racing street stock or thunder stock at Oshweek and in Merrittville and Humberstone, ever since I got in the seat of one of those cars, our goal was always to go sprint car racing. So I just had to save some cash up and make the investment to buy a car. And actually my first car we purchased at the Sprint Car Nationals from Steve Poirier. So that, and then ever since then, that was at the 2013 Nationals. So since then, we've been racing sprint cars.
It seems kind of interesting that the Nationals itself has been the gateway for a lot of people to get involved in sprint car racing up there. It seems like people got turned on to it, maybe going to the Nationals and switching divisions, or like you purchasing a car at the Nationals. It seems like it's kind of like it all kind of centers around that.
Yeah, it's, you know, especially with no World of Outlaw race this year at Oshweek, I think it's even more magnified because this is the one race where you get all the best of the best guys, you know, 360 racers in the Northeast, and, you know, and the purse is large. So as soon as you pay 10, 12 grand American to win, you're going to get the best guys. Whether that's, you know, Sam or Parker or a guy like Mark Smith from Pennsylvania coming up. It's always interesting to see how those guys fair when they don't race there all year against, you know, the locals like myself and my brother and my teammates that raced every Friday night.
Now, we've had a Quebec driver win. We've had your Hills Racing team has been represented by winning the Nationals. We haven't had an Ontario driver in victory lane yet. What do you think the reaction would be? How raucous would it get if an Ontario native were able to put the car in Victory Lane on Saturday night?
I think the place would go wild. I really do. The weekly racing at Oshweek, and I think it's the toughest it's ever been now. You know, I think 3-4 years ago, you'd look down the starting lineup of the Nationals and you might have two or three locals in the field, where a year like this year, we could have, you know, 5, 6, possibly 7 locals in the field. So I think it would go absolutely insane. Do I think it will happen? I'd like to say it'd be myself in Victory Lane, but I don't know. The guys coming in are real tough. Sam was at Oshweken last week and he looked real good. So he's going for his second title. And then obviously Parker coming in driving for my team. He's going to be real tough as well, winning a couple of years ago.
Now, of course, you know, the Canadian Nationals, you can't win the Nationals on Friday, but you definitely can lose it on Friday. How do you approach the Friday night program, balancing trying to get one of those two guaranteed starting spots? And how differently are you going to approach it with the makeup feature for the Patriot sprints that same night?
You know what? The makeup feature, I feel, is going to be a lot different than any other feature that weekend. I think there's still going to be some moisture in the track, or at least I hope so, for that feature. We're rolling off 9th. That's a rescheduled feature for mid-July with a real strong field, you know, 3,300 to win. I think we had 37 cars. And, you know, that race is going to be a good race. We got a lot of good guys up for that race, including my teammate Alex starts on the front row. And so it should be an exciting one. But I think whoever wins that race, I don't know if you'll really learn anything for the rest of the weekend.
You know, obviously the Canadian Nationals the focus this week, but what are your plans for the rest of 2018? Are you going to do any racing after the Nationals this year?
We always look forward to, we might try to get down to Outlaw Speedway. They have a good $5,000 a win show. The weekend after the Nationals. And then I just found out we did have plans to go to Eldora, but it sounds like they've rescheduled the World 100, so they won't have that show anymore. But if all goes well, we might make it down to Waynesfield for their NRA show on October 6th or 7th.
Well, that'll be neat to see you in the neighborhood again. Well, I appreciate you taking time out tonight. Congratulations on the championship, Corey, and I'll look forward to seeing you in action at the Nationals this weekend.
Okay, thank you, TJ. Definitely stop by and see us, and hopefully, you know, it's a good weekend of racing, that's for sure.
Chuck Heaving has long been known as one of the top sprint car drivers in the Northeast, but earlier this year, Heaving showed up on the national radar when he put his 360 sprint car in the dash with the World of Outlaws at the Weed Sports Speedway as a stellar run in the A main. But at the Canadian Nationals, Heaving's had less than stellar luck, some crashes and some other things, and he has yet to win Canada's biggest sprint car race. Heaving took a moment to sit down and discuss his season, the upcoming Canadian Nationals, and what it's like to have his daughter racing against him now on a regular basis. Chuck Heaving, we were talking off the air. We've been doing this a long time, and one of our favorite races coming up, the Canadian Sprint Car Nationals this weekend. We're recording this a little bit earlier, but man, another trip up to Oshwegan at one of our favorite racetracks.
Yeah, I can't wait to get up there again. We're fortunate to run a Patriot race up there, and we're locked into a feature that's coming up here shortly. So we'll be able to race Friday night. Normally Friday nights I don't race. I usually just watch everybody. Wait for the track to get New York slick, because that's kind of our deal. When it slickens up, everybody seems to, it just seems to be a lot less chaotic, and usually we can do well with that.
And you were in the spotlight for your prowess on the New York slick in front of quite an audience on Dirt Vision earlier this year when you put your 360 in the dash running up front with the World of Outlaws. How was the reaction after that, considering that race was on pay-per-view all over the world? Did you get a lot of feedback and stuff after that performance of the World of Outlaws?
Oh, I had a couple friends. Me and Shane Stewart talked earlier in the night, and I asked him, I go, how bad am I going to get beat up by you out here? He goes, how slippery will it get here? I go, well, it'll get pretty slippery. And after the heat race, I went and asked him something before the heat race about air pressure and thirst style tires and this and that. After the heat race, he'd come down to me and he goes, "Don't come down asking me any more questions." So, no, it's amazing on, I mean, not that we don't have a very good 360 motor, but we are giving up 200 pounds, 200 horsepower. You know, I mean, maybe not quite 200 horsepower, but 200 pounds. And it just goes to show on how much horsepower you don't use on a slippery racetrack. And just like me and you were talking, I think that's why Oschwegan and some of these slippery racetracks, why it becomes such good racing. It's not about holding the thing on the floor. It's about driving in your chassis. And, you know, that night at Weedsport, you know, it was so slippery. To me, it wasn't slippery. It was normal stuff. To them, it was ludicrous. And it's amazing on how good that the group of people up here are. You know, I mean, the racers up here are on that type of racetrack.
Yeah, that's something that we don't see a lot of out here, at least. So I can attest to when I was watching on TV, I'm like, man, that's like old school Fremont slick. And there's only one or two places that would get that slick. Because usually around here, they get that slick, they start to lay rubber. You know, where your tracks just said to get slick like that, don't seem to lay the rubber like other ones do. And
yeah, we don't ever see rubber in New York. You know, I mean, it's just slippery. And then the best thing that'll happen is it'll go black top to bottom slippery. Then it's not what we call not dirty. And then we'll have races that we're three wide. You know, I mean, that's just that good of a race. And, you know, Utica Rome can do that sometimes. I mean, this year it's been a little bit what I call dirty in the heat races, where it's one lane of track in the heat races because the track is what we call dirty. But once it goes black, you can race top to bottom. And that's, Oschwegan can do the same thing. Weedsport has fantastic races when it does that, even in the modified stuff. I know everybody likes that gas on, wide open stuff, but that ain't always the best racing to watch.
Yeah, that's something we find out as you come of age and you figure that out, I think. Chuck Ebing joining us. And, you know, we mentioned Oschwegan and how it slicks off and races like that, but it's a track that kind of can be bipolar too, because, I mean, it can get slick and wide, but it can bite you too, and it can be a hammer down kind of deal as well.
Oh, no doubt. Oschwegan can really get you behind. There's guys that will run wide open right on what is left of a curve. There'll be guys running in the middle. There'll be guys running the top. But, yeah, like you say, it'll be interesting this year with the new clay that got up there. If they can get the rough out of it. They said they've been struggling with, you know, typical clay. It's a tough thing to keep, you know, mean water pockets out of it. Hopefully it's smooth. We don't need, when you bring that many cars into one area, you don't need rough because it just tears up a lot of equipment. So hopefully it's good.
You've been really close over the years to winning this race. What would it mean to win the Canadian Sprint Car Nationals for you?
Oh, it'd be huge in my deal. You know, like I say, I've been racing a long time and won a lot of big races and had a great career. I mean, you know, we just turned 50 wins in Patriots, and I think I got 30 wins in ESS or plus. And no, it's been a crazy good career. But, you know, that's one of the big races that we've been in that top five many times. But you got to start. I always seem to start in the back. I don't ever seem to get myself to start in the front because I don't do good in the qualifying. But, no, that would be a big one to win that one. That'd be a career one. My daughter would tell me it'd be time for me to retire again, for me to take care of her.
And that's another aspect that's different now, that she's racing, and she's been doing this a little while now through the 305s and the 360s. How has that changed your program and how maybe you approach a night, if at all, not that you have a kid out there racing with you as well?
Well, I think it's helped her tremendous. I mean, she's got so much input on what I have in my car at certain tracks and certain nights that she just gets to concentrate on driving. She doesn't have to worry about, you know, like when I started, I needed to know what tires, bars, this setup. You know, she's got to concentrate on her, and she's got to concentrate on her driving. She knows her race car will be as good as I can make it, or whoever, you know, Todd that's been helping her all year, as good as he can make it. You know, she's got to concentrate on driving. So I think that helps the young drivers. But, you know, she definitely wants me to retire or slow down a lot more and go with her more.
So on that instance, how much longer are you going to do this? I mean, you're still ultra competitive. You're winning all kinds of races. How long do you think you'll do it?
Oh, I keep saying I got a real good friend, Ron Wilkins, that, you know what I mean, that pays a lot of bills. You know what I mean, takes care of motors, and Tommy Forgione and them guys out of FA Products. they take care of a motor. If it came to the point that I had to take care of all the motor bills, plus all the car bills, plus the motorhome bills, I've had enough. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's a very expensive game just to run up down the road. So, no, I could quit. You know what I mean? It'd be tough. You know what I mean? It'd be tough to quit when you're competitive, but I definitely want to stop racing while I'm competitive. You know what I mean? But then you see that. Oh, no, I swore. You guys see that?
Podcast, you're good.
Oh, yeah. You see Sammy Swindell? I mean, look at that guy. Ungodly how good he still is today. So I don't think age is what's going to make me quit. It's, I guess, if your health stays good and your eyes stay good and you stay good at it, I think you can go, man, Sammy's shown you can go quite a ways if you stay competitive, but there's other stuff I want to do, and I do need to help my daughter more. And if I'm racing it and I'm going one direction, she's going the other direction, it's hard to do both.
Chuck Ewing talking to us. One of the things I always hear from teams that haven't maybe done it before is, well, what do we need to do to get across the border? And I don't know if we can talk about this a little bit or not, but, you know, it doesn't, for the teams like the ESS and Patriot teams that do it quite a bit, it doesn't seem like that big of a deal. Is it really that big of a deal to get a race car across the border?
Not no more. We went through that one time when we had them bad times that we all had around 9/11 when all the bad stuff was going on in the world. But now, if you go there and you treat them people with respect going across and you treat your border coming back with respect, it's no more than telling them what you're doing. We don't do any paperwork anymore. We go across saying what we're doing and we come back saying where we came from, and we don't have any trouble. I mean, you just got to treat people right and they'll treat you back the same.
So, but much like I've told people over the years, and Chuck Ewing agrees, just don't be a jerk and you'll be fine.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah. So, don't have a criminal record if you're going.
I was going to say, if you are a jerk, be ready to unpack everything you have in the trailer.
No doubt. Give them a little attitude. They got a badge, and they're going to let you know that they got one.
Exactly.
Kind of like a run cop at the mall. They're definitely going to let you know they're in charge.
Now, the funny thing is that happens quite often on this side, because you cross over in New York, and we cross over here in Michigan, is kind of occasionally guys will get pulled over because the guys want to see what's in the trailer. Like, they just want to see the car.
No doubt. I've been pulled over in the past, and he goes, hey, we're not giving you a hard time. We just want it. That is one cool rig. You know, we got in a big Peterbilt motorhome. They just want, they all come out, all their buddies, they come out and look at the stuff and thumbs up and away we go. I had no intention like this. I just wanted to look at our stuff.
And I can vouch, I can vouch that you do build one of the nicest haulers in the business too. So I can't blame them.
Thank you. No doubt. It's amazing on how people sometimes just want to look at it. But you say it'll be interesting. If from up your way, I see Dustin Daggett, you know, I mean, once a year we'll say hello to each other up there at Oshwegan. It's funny how you get Oshwegan, you were talking about that. That's a once a year track that I see people that I only see once a year. So it's pretty cool to go up there.
Yeah, because I mean, it's really for 360 teams in this part of the country and West, and for all the teams like Patriot Tour and all, even some URC and some in the ESS group, it's really in the middle. So, I mean, this is like neutral turf, at least for us. It's definitely not neutral turf for their weekly teams, so that are really strong.
Yo, that'll be tougher now. Like you said, their weekly teams that they have at Oshwegan have raised the bar quite a bit. You know, I mean, Dylan, you know, Rhett Westbrook there, he's one of the best going right now. He's good when he leaves there. So he'll be tough. You know, I mean, they got some real good guys that race there weekly, and then, now, this year, again, there's no national tour going on, so you'll have Sam Hayfertief in town. You're going to have a stout mix of people from all over the place.
Does the level of competition make it more attractive for you?
I love to race the best of the best. That's why me and Steve Poirier and Jason Barney and all my buddy Jeff Cook there, some of us, these guys are going to show up, or them guys are going to show up, and the good guys, they want to see all the best guys, because at this point in my career, you know, I mean, if I win, I want to be validated that, you know, beat the best of the guys. So, well, most of us enjoy the competition because on equal ground, on equal everything, we all think we're as good as anybody. I mean, or we wouldn't be doing it.
For you to win the Canadian Nationals this year, what has to happen?
Well, I think this year, I'm hoping that, I mean, fast race tracks. We're as good as anybody right now. It's slippery. I think we got our program is above a lot of people on slippery right now. It's really, really good. I mean, I've had an incredible season on, you know, slippery racetracks. I'm hoping it goes ice. Yeah, I mean, ice is, you know, we're really good at that. Like I say, you got to get in a race. I mean, I've been close before. I've been in the B mains and not, so, you know, I mean, you have got to make the race to have a chance, but I'm hoping if we can, first time, if we could start in the top 10 for a change, I think it would help our chances of winning.
Well, Chuck, we were talking off the air. We've been doing this for a very long time, and it's always exciting this time of year because, hey, we get to catch up because we don't see each other except in September anymore. And it's one of the most exciting races of the year. If you had to tell someone from the United States, because I always say there aren't enough U.S. fans that check this race out. If you had to tell someone from the United States, a sprint car fan, why they should come to Osh Week and why, what would you tell them?
Well, you're going to see most likely 60 to 70 cars, that three cars move into the feature in heat races. You're going to see seven heat races with 10 cars, everybody knowing they have to get to the top three or four. So every heat race is so important. I mean, you're going to see some of the best racing of the best racers, you know, 360 plus some 410 guys, you know, I mean, they'll show up there. But I think the competition level, and you put 70 cars at a racetrack trying to make a 24 or 25 car field, gets pretty intense.
Well, Chuck, I appreciate taking time out of your busy schedule from work and preparing the race car to talk to us. And I'm looking forward to seeing you next week when we head to Oshwegan.
You too. Be glad to see. Hopefully, it'll be good to see you.
All right. Good to see you too, man. Talk to you later.
Talk to you later. Bye.
One of Heeman's closest friends just happens to be Jason Barney. The two are just actually getting ready to do some camping before a recent event with the Empire Super Sprints up at Can-Am Speedway. One thing Barney and I have talked throughout the season, because we share the same passion about this Canadian Sprint Car Nationals event and sprint car racing in general, and Barney has kind of a unique perspective coming into this race because he's also involved in the industry and the parts and chassis business as well. So Barney has some interesting viewpoints on the Canadian Sprint Car Nationals and Canadian sprint car racing in the Northeast in general. So Jason Barney, we were talking off the air about how excited we both are about the upcoming Canadian Sprint Car Nationals. I know you and I have talked about this over the year. This is a race that both of us are pretty passionate about.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's definitely, I consider our crown and jewel of races in our area and this region. Even, you know, just because it's a 360 race doesn't mean it has a 360 feel. It feels like a big time 410 type race. It's just stacked competition. Perfect racetrack, probably the best racetrack in the area, and the format and just the way everything can play out makes it extremely interesting and probably definitely my favorite race of the year, and always look forward to it, and it's just can't wait for it to be here and can't believe it is already here.
Now, from the driver perspective, the heat races at Oshwegan are so tough. You're only taking three cars out of those things. How hard from a driver perspective are those heat races?
Well, I always pray to not be in the super heat for one, because there's always one super heat that you just look at. And if you're in, you just shake your head. And if you're not, you're just like, thank you, I'm not in that one. So I always just pray that we're not in that one. And then you can't go out and you can't sandbag, you can't take a lap off, you can't take a corner off. You got to go out and give it, you know, everything that you got every minute and every lap on the racetrack. You know, the format makes it tough, but it makes it interesting. I've lucked into a front row starting spot in a heat race. It's been a blessing, and I've, you know, started sixth and won a heat race. But you've got to be on. You've got to hope to do every single thing right. You've got to pay attention to the racetrack every minute that you can. You really, you can't even stand to take a minute at your trailer. You got to be paying attention because the racetrack changes so fast, and the lines and the way people drive the racetrack is really unique, and it changes through the whole night. So it's definitely keeps you on your toes. And, you know, you go there Friday and sometimes you feel good, sometimes you feel bad. I just like to go there and just get comfortable with the race car, get comfortable with the way people are racing. And then Saturday comes and it's a completely different feel and different way that you go about it. But I think that's what makes it great. I think it's the best race of the year. Look forward to it. Look forward to the challenge of it and trying to get back to being really competitive where we should be and where we need to be.
You have an interesting perspective because you are a driver, race team owner, but also you have a company that is in the industry of sprint car racing. So it poses the question, and I've had this theory for several years, is Canada one of the best untapped sprint car markets we have going right now, do you believe?
I think so. I think that, you know, there's a bunch of talent, and then when you have a weekly track, that's something that's really unique that we don't have in our area. So, you know, I got an opportunity to work with Tyler Hendricks, who just got hurt a couple weeks ago, unfortunately, but him and his father, Scott, purchased a car beginning of the year, got on our shock package and kind of got on our complete package. So it was really fun for me and to be able to work with them week in and week out. And what made it even better was the fact that Ashwikin puts their races live on YouTube. I could, in between my nights of racing, I could try to catch the heat races, try to catch the feature. So it was more of a opportunity to do some research and get some good knowledge all for this weekend. Is this all that really mattered? You know, we didn't get an ESS race there this year. We ended up breaking an engine in hot laps for the Patriot race, and we didn't get another chance to go up there and race this year. So we haven't been on the racetrack all year. So to have, you know, Tyler and Scott kind of giving me some feedback was very helpful, and hopefully that it helps us and it can help the rest of our customers that have our cars or our package. So look forward to that. I think Canada's and Ashwikin have a great, you know, fan base and, you know, talent level. And I think they were very lucky and they're very fortunate to have that as well.
And one other question I get quite often from race teams is how hard is it to cross the border? Is it hard? Is it difficult? Oh, I heard it's a pain. For guys like you that do it quite a bit, it seems like it doesn't seem to be that much of a challenge.
No, I think it's like anything else. The more nervous you are or the more of a thing you make it, the more of a thing it becomes. We just pull up there and say, hey, we're going racing. Where are you going? Going to Granby or going to Drummond. When are you coming back? Sunday. Okay, see you then. I think if you just treat it like an everyday thing and it doesn't throw off any red flags, we just pull up like, you know, we're going down the street to Brewerton in the race tomorrow, you know? So, you know, we do it quite often. Maybe that makes it better because we do go through, but I don't think that should deter anybody from going to, you know, this big of an event. It's not as big a deal as people make it out to be. And it's just like anything else. The more you, you know, make of it, the worse it's going to become. But that wouldn't, I don't think it should stop anybody from going to a great racetrack for a great pay and a great event.
How much of the event, obviously the pay is good, but the experience of this race being a big race, and you get a lot of it's, I was talking with some other people that it's kind of like middle ground between the Midwestern teams and the East Coast teams. Where it's kind of like we're coming, it's not neutral ground for the Ashwigan cars, but it's almost like neutral ground for those two factions of sprint cars.
Yeah, I think it's a kind of a blue collar opportunity for guys like myself and regulars. To race for that type of money with that type of prestige and that type of size of an event. You know, you're gonna, I know this is sprint car stuff, but I come from modifieds, and I don't know if you know the Victoria 200, but it was kind of, you know, you have your locals, you have your outsiders, you have your, you know, one, you have this series and that series, and you get your top five, six guys come in from each series, and you just get to see them duke it out, whether you're, and I root for our guys, you know, I want to win, but I'm always rooting for an ESS or a Patriot guy in a heat race. I don't want, you know, I want to see our cream rise to the top. I want to prove that we're the best club and we have the best drivers and we have, you know, the best equipment. So I kind of see it like that too. It's kind of a race inside of a race for us as, you know, a club or a group, or, you know, we travel around together and I like to root for our own guys.
What do you think would be the one key thing you have to accomplish on Saturday or do well to put you in victory lane?
Got to win your heat race. Most important thing. You know, Brian proved that you don't have to. I think that was an extremely special night. Last year we got in the last spot in the B, didn't have a good finish. We had a part failure, but I felt like we had a really good car capable of driving up to the field. And you just have that there. It's a longer race. You're going to get a couple cautions. You're going to get lap traffic. You're not going to be in one lane. If you do the right things, you can come from the back. But to win, I do feel like you need to win or be top two in your heat race. And that puts a lot of pressure on. If you don't, you know, I look at it this way. If we don't win our heat race, we're not in the redraw. We're not second in the heat. It's a clean slate. You go out there, you look at it a little differently. You think, okay, well, you're going to either try to get to the front real soon, or you're going to try to hope to couple cautions and have a good race car for the last 10 laps. So I kind of break it up into stages. Obviously time trials are most important. Then whatever that pill draw is, heat race. And then you got to kind of plan out the way you want to run the feature based on your starting position and the way you think the race is going to play out.
Jason Barney talking with us. And one thing I always find interesting about the Canadian Nationals is the start. There's 30 cars. I mean, that's a lot of race cars. There's a lot of room out there. From a driver's perspective, with dirty air and everything else, how crazy is that start of the Canadian Nationals? Because it always seems to go so smoothly.
I've started on the front row, I think, and I've started 30th. And it's just as crazy for either one, because you know you're going to be just racing somebody all the time. And if you're starting 30th, like I said, if you know you're starting in the back, yeah, you want to have a good car at the end, but the worst thing that can happen is you get a lap down early and you're going to really have about five laps before the leader's on you. So you really have to put yourself in a position to have your car to be able to go forward at least far enough to put a gap in between you and the leader. But that's what makes it so fun. You're always racing somebody. There was times that, you know, ran a race that I didn't even have any clue where we finished. No clue. You're just racing and racing and racing. Whatever car's in front of you, you're just chasing and hoping that it's for position or hoping it's for the win. But the best race, I don't think anybody can say that it isn't. Look forward to it. They do a great, great job there. They always give us a great racetrack. And they keep you on your toes and can't believe it's already here. Can't believe the summer's gone, but we're ready for it and looking forward to the opportunity.
And that great analysis is why we always like talking to Jason Barney before the Canadian Sprint Car Nationals. One final thing, Jason, a little bit looking beyond Canadian Nationals, what's your plan for the rest of 2018?
Just one step at a time. Just two points races left. I think we're 26 points ahead of Steve right now. And just trying to focus on Can-Am, Can-Am Saturday. Play Steve is really, really good at, and we've been just subpar. Felt like we've made some progress this year. Think we have a couple things to be better, but got to see how the night plays out and just trying to stay ahead of the 28 FM. And that's something we've been trying to do for years. And so has everybody else. So not that easy. Going to give it our best effort and hopefully that we can do the right things and get another championship this year. After that, we have a Gold Cup, a big race at Utica, going to Short Track Nationals October, and going to do that again. I haven't done that in a few years, but that lines up good for us and we get a chance to go. And then I think we have 8 races left, so crazy that it's almost over, but got good stuff ahead and just got to do the right things and hopefully win another Cole Cup and run good at the Canadian Nationals.
Well, Jason, it's always a pleasure talking to you before this race. Best of luck this coming weekend, which will be last weekend by the time this publishes. But hopefully that goes well, and we look forward to catching up with you in Canada.
Thank you. Look forward to seeing you, and thank you for including me. I appreciate it, and can't wait for Canadian Nationals.
If you follow the action at Oshwegan Speedway with any regular basis, you see the name Dylan Westbrook in victory lane, especially the two past couple of seasons, more often than not. Dylan's a kid that's come up through all the ranks at Oshwegan Speedway, through the crate sprint cars and into the 360s, and has become really the dominant force there at Oshwegan. And I would argue is probably the leading contender to become the first Ontario driver to possibly win the Nationals. And I wanted to sit down and find out with Dylan, with the success and everything, if there's any more pressure going into this Canadian Nationals, racing for the home team as he races for the Glenn Stires race team, in front of the home crowd at the track that pretty much has reared his sprint car career. Dylan Westbrook, you have been dominant at the Oshwegan Speedway, putting together another banner season. It's been pretty awesome to watch from afar your performances over there at Oshwegan and elsewhere.
Yeah, we've been doing real good over there. Just kind of been racing there, kind of just from crate sprint cars moving up to the 360. So have a lot of track experience there, and then just kind of been tweaking our setup for quite a few years now, and we got a real good one now.
For those of you that don't know me here in the States, and even some of our Canadian listeners, how did you get interested in sprint car racing? You mentioned you were a product of the crate sprint cars, but how did you get interested in it?
Well, at first I started racing dirt bikes when I was like 4 years old, and then kept on kind of moving up the ranks and that, and then got in a pretty serious accident. So spent a couple of days in the hospital, and then that kind of ran out of nerve for two wheels, so we bought a go-kart after that and raced that on like the wing dirt go-kart, and it's been moving up the ranks. So I went from the go-kart then to a 600 mini sprint, then I was actually a crew guy on Glenn Stires sprint car, and then got the opportunity to race a crate sprint car, and kind of first night out finished fourth in that, and then just kind of ever since then been racing for him. So just kind of kept on moving up the ranks, and it really worked out for me.
And like I said, you have been dominant at Oshwegan Speedway. What is it about Oshwegan that seems to fit your driving style so well?
I don't know. It's just a really racy track. It's a really wide track surface. There's always a top and a bottom. It's just always real racy. And then like my crew chief, Steve Moulton, he crewed on Keith Dempster's car and Glenn Stires' car there. So starting to help out. He got a real good baseline setup with that. And then just all of my crew just kind of helping out, getting setups ready. And then it just kind of almost seems like it just suits my driving style. Just got to be pretty smooth there, just kind of big, fairly big corners. And then I think just a bunch of it just ending up being smooth and just holding a good steady line.
Obviously, you moved up through the Canadian ranks there. You're very aware of Oshwegan Speedway. When did the Canadian Sprint Car Nationals get on your radar?
It's kind of always been just to go there and watch it before I even raced at Oshwegan. Just always one of the big races around here. And then just kind of kept on trying out for it. Last year, finished fifth, even had some brake problems also. But, yeah, I think that's kind of one of the main races I want to win, just because it's kind of the biggest race around here and at the home track and everything. That one it'd be really cool to win.
I was going to say, how much pressure does it add to you when you're this dominant, and that's basically like your home turf you're defending there? Does it add any extra pressure for you?
A little bit, because I don't know, some people we talk to, they don't really realize just how good the competition is up at Oshwegan on a weekly basis. And then, so when all the big like names come up to race at the Nationals and we're like really competitive with them, it's really good just to show up and compete anywhere. Like for that race, it's huge around here. So just people from everywhere come around for it, and then we can always compete with them pretty well. So like last year finished in fifth, and then just had all good guys ahead of us. So really just kind of like a good confidence booster. Just kind of know that you're good as everyone else.
What do you think you're going to have to do better this year to be able to improve that finish?
We've actually been trying some new stuff the last few weeks here on the car, just kind of learning just how to get it a bit tighter for me, and just how to, because normally at Nationals the track is fairly slick, so just trying to get a better setup for that, and we've been trying some stuff, and I think it's worked out pretty well, so I think if all goes well, if we have no problems, knock on wood, that I think we should be pretty competitive again.
What do you think it would mean for an Ontario driver to win the Canadian Nationals? We've had a Quebec driver win it. We've had a lot of people win it from the States. But to have an Ontario driver win, what do you think that would mean for everyone there at Ashwegan?
That'd be pretty cool, especially like if I was to win it, just being like a weekly driver there, that'd be awesome. I think that'd probably just be awesome just for everyone there on the track, and it'd definitely be a pretty good feeling.
If you were explaining to someone that maybe had never been to the Canadian Nationals, that have been to other events like the Knoxville or maybe Eldora or some of the other places, what would you tell them to encourage them to come out to the Canadian Nationals?
Kind of just, there's always good racing. There's always a top or a bottom. There's always a ton of cars, and it's a real good payout. I think this year it's still $10,000. American dollars, so that's real good even for the American people coming up. They don't lose anything on the exchange, and the American dollar is a lot better than the Canadian right now, so that even works out better for them too. And yeah, and just the facility around there, just the track, like I said, is amazing. And now they just redid the whole pit side or spectator side, and there's has a brand new place to get food, brand new washrooms. There's always top line grandstands and everything. It's just a real nice facility to go to.
Where do you see yourself in the sprint car world in 5 years? Do you have a 5-year plan at this point, or do you have such a good deal going at this point you just want to keep that rolling?
Don't really have much of a plan right now. Kind of right now, just kind of still trying to focus on school, but I got my last year of school that I'm doing right now. It started in October, and then do that for a couple months and I'm done. I'm a fully licensed mechanic after that, and then if I wanted to, could kind of take a bit more time off work and kind of really focus on the racing. But, yeah, kind of in 5 years, don't really have much of a plan yet, but would like to get in some more 410s and just kind of expand that way, or run like a ASCS tour or something like that, just with the 360, just kind of go on a tour, just get a lot more track time and just kind of get my name out there.
One more Canadian Nationals question. You do have the Friday program where if you win one of those twin features, you do get locked into Saturday's program. How important is it to have one of those spots to fall back on, or do you look at Friday as more of a tune-up opportunity?
Not really. Just Thursday, you get there's a test in 2 nights, so that kind of, if you got to test something, you can do it then. But Friday night, it's just, if you can win that, it's just a huge stress reliever. Just knowing if something goes wrong, you're still locked in, you still have a chance for it. It definitely takes a lot of stress off. Like, 2 years ago, I was leading the heat race and we had a fuel pump break. So I had to go through the BMA and everything. Then I had to take a provisional and wasn't sure if I was even going to get the provisional because someone else is real close in points and everything. So if you can win Friday, it's just a huge stress reliever. Can kind of not stress out as much on kind of how you do and just kind of focus on just hitting the line every time and doing it. So it definitely means a lot the Friday night, just doing good, even though it's just the winter locks in, but definitely means a lot.
And one more thought on Friday. Now that there's a makeup feature on Friday, how does that change your approach to the weekend?
Just kind of the points, I'm looking pretty good for that. And I think it's just show up points for that race. So just kind of take it easy, just make sure I finish that race and kind of save the car, and then kind of go all out for the Canadian or the twin 15s after that. Just kind of the points were looking pretty good, so for the twin 15, just go all out for that, try to get that win just so we're locked in, and just kind of huge lift off your shoulders knowing that you're locked in at A&A.
Well, Dylan, I appreciate you taking time out for us. We're looking forward to coming back up to Ashwegan for another Canadian Nationals and seeing you perform on your home turf.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Demo most recent winner for the Canadian Nationals that's scheduled to be on hand this weekend is Parker Price Miller. I mentioned earlier in the podcast that PBM lost one of the most heartbreaking Canadian Nationals ever to Brian Holland, but bounced back the following year and picked up his first victory in the event. PBM's kind of raced throughout the whole world and still has an immense respect for Oshawegan Speedway in the Canadian Nationals and the level of competition at that event. And Parker actually took a little time away from hanging out at the BC39 to talk to me about the Canadian Nationals and his season to date in 2018 and what his prospects look like for this weekend's edition of the Canadian Nationals. Parker Price Miller, we're getting ready for another Canadian Sprint Car Nationals, and this is a race that you have an interesting perspective on because you've had two of the more interesting situations where you lost it by a hair, but you also won a very exciting Canadian Nationals.
Yeah, my first year at Canadian Nationals, I actually led a few laps with Poirier and I can't even think of his name, man. I'm the 51 car. I forget his name. Brian Howland. That's what it is. Yep. And it was a good race. And what's crazy is I was racing side by side with Poirier the whole race. That I didn't even know that Howland was on the lead lap. I thought he was a lap car, and I thought I had ran second. So that's just how good of racing Oshawegan just puts on for their fans. And you know, Brian actually won the race from 22nd that year. And then the following year, I actually swept the night, quick time, won my heat, won the dash, won the feature, and was pretty good all night. And I actually had to chase down Jessica Zimkin for the win. She was really good. But, I've always been really good at Oshawegan and really looking forward to getting back there.
When you first got the opportunity, what were your expectations going up there? I mean, you get invited up to Canada. Did you kind of know what level of competition you'd be facing up there?
I had actually raced up there a few times, but not as big as the Canadian Nationals. And, you know, like Sam Haferkeep comes up there, the 3G with the Gurdy and Macedo, they go up there. And so I know there's always at least 10 really good cars that can win. And their local guys are really tough, so we can't really put it behind anyone and say that this guy's going to win or that guy's going to win. Because they all race there locally. It's kind of like Knoxville. Their local guys are very good. So there's always a handful of cars that can win that race. So it makes a huge difference because, you know, you don't race with them all the time. So you don't know what they're doing or what they're capable of. So that's kind of a disadvantage. But, you know, it's just kind of like every other race. You just go in with the same mentality like every other race and to go win. So it's kind of take it the same way as another race.
How did you get involved in coming up there? How did you get hooked up with the Hills Racing team?
So Daryl Turford, who's a crew chief on the car. I've known Daryl since I was probably about 13 years old. He worked for Sam Haferkeep, and they actually worked out of my dad's shop one night. I met them, and I won a race at Fremont the week before, I went and drove them, and they needed someone to come fill in for their guy that I think he had gotten hurt or something. Needed a guy to fill in for their season opener. So they actually called me, and luckily I had a weekend off, and I went and raced for them. And I won the Friday night at Oshawegan, ran second on Saturday, and then won Sunday at New Humberstone on that same weekend. So I did pretty good, and ever since then I've had a ride for life with them, and I can't thank them enough. And Miles has been very good to me my whole career, ever since I've known him. And, you know, I just couldn't pick a better team to go race for.
Is there any added pressure driving for an Ontario race team at their biggest race of the year?
There is. But I don't ever really feel it with them just because they're always laid back and they're always wanting to have a good time. And, you know, that we want to win, but they don't ever add any pressure to me. But, that's their home racetrack. Their shop's probably about 15 minutes, and it's
it's Canada's biggest race, I believe. I'm not sure. I'm not familiar with Canada sprint car racing, but I believe it's the biggest one. So, you know, they obviously want to win it, and it was actually really cool. I actually got Miles his first Canadian Nationals win for Hills, so that's a really special feeling to me. And, you know, Miles is just such a great guy, and he puts a lot into the sport. And, you know, he not only does he do a lot for Alex, his daughter, but he does a lot for me. He does a lot for the young kids coming up in the go-karts, and just a really, really good guy that the sport needs and that wish we could have more of him.
Lots of drivers are very complimentary about the racetrack itself. What makes it, for a driver, such a great place to race at?
Well, first of all, Glenn Sires is a very good owner, track owner, and everything he does. He does everything the whole nine yards. You know, if he's going to do something, he's going to do it 100%. So that racetrack is taken care of all year long, and they have the nicest equipment. And he allows it to get slick and wide. And when it does that, it provides great racing. I mean, like we go full wide before the race even starts. And I think we could fit about three more cars beside us. You know, that track's wide enough for eight cars. And that's why you see such big slide jobs, or guys float to the middle or run on the bottom, and just providing great racing. And from videos, I'm pretty sure you can see that I favor the high side, and he leaves it where the top just has one little lane, and the bottom's probably about eight car lengths below that, and you can roll the bottom, and, you know, it just provides a really good racetrack.
Parker Price Miller talking to us. It's been a bit of an interesting season for you, but lately you have quite a bit of momentum. You put a car in the Knoxville Nationals, A-Main. You had some strong runs in Ohio. I mean, you've been running pretty good lately, and it's probably a good time of year coming into this race to start going really well like that.
Yeah, you know, it's obviously not ideal to, you know, lose your drive middle of the season, but, you know, it is what it is. I can't thank Destiny Motorsports for all they did for me. I can't thank them enough. I'm sorry. You know, they provided me with the great race cars and a great team. It just wasn't meant to be, and I understand that. And luckily, Bernie from Indy Race Parts put me in a car for Knoxville, and I made my first national, so that felt really good. And, you know, that's probably the best feeling I've had in a sprint car besides winning my first outlaw feature. But, yeah, you know, I know I can do it. Like, you know, when you get fired from a job like that, you kind of wonder, oh, is this for me, or do I need to do something else? And to go make the Nationals was like a really good confidence booster, just because, you know, I know I belong in this sport. Sometimes you can't really see it. So, you know, this past week in Ohio, we had some good runs. Just didn't really have any luck go our way, but yeah, kind of playing some musical chairs right now with some race cars, but they're all good race cars that I've been in, and hopefully I can pick off some wins here, because I haven't got one this season, and usually I'm sitting at about 8 or 10 right now, so I got to start picking them off quick.
Do other drivers ever ask you about going to Canada and what it's like? Because it's a race that I think flies under the radar a little bit, this Canadian Nationals deal. Do you ever get asked about it quite a bit, because you've competed enough in it now?
I get asked a lot. You know, I truly believe that the Canadian Nationals is the most underrated sprint car race in the world. You know, you get 70 cars, and a lot of them are very good race cars, and I mean, the past 2 years, or the past 3 years, it's been great racing. I mean, lead changes back and forth, three and four wide racing. And, you know, me and Macedo talked about it, and, like, we love going to Canada. And if we could go to Oshkosh every weekend, I mean, I'd be okay with it. You know, it's just a really good racetrack. But, you know, some guys ask about it and ask, like, if it's hard to get across the border and stuff like that. But I've actually never had to take my own stuff up there, because the Hills have provided me cars. So I don't know that situation of it, but, yeah, if you ever get a chance to go up to Oshkosh, you know, I would definitely take the opportunity, because you won't be disappointed.
And right there is the same thing we've been saying for about 10 years. So, well, Parker, I really appreciate it. Look forward to seeing you up in Canada, and, good luck going into the race.
Thank you, man. Thank you for having me and, talking with you.
All right. Thank you. And And that will wrap up another edition of the TJSlideways.com podcast. If you want more information on attending the Canadian Sprint Car Nationals or to check out the live streaming video, visit oswegonspeedway.ca. Thank you again to All-Star Performance Engine Pro, TI-22, Maxim Chassis, and the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame Museum. We could not do this without you. Make sure to subscribe to listen to all of our podcasts on iTunes, the Google Play Store, Stitcher, Podbean, and under podcast on tjslideways.com. Thank you for taking time to listen to this edition of the tjslideways.com podcast. And I look forward to seeing you down the road at the racetrack.
Thank you for listening to the TJ Slideways podcast.